Let's bring in Gord Stellick. He's co-host of our Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, of course, Hockey Central at noon as well. Mr. Stellick, thanks for joining us today. You talked about that series. This the Jets and Golden Knights series is fascinating to me. You know, watching the national anthem in Vegas, the way Carnell Johnson is his name, the way he let the Winnipeg fans yell "True North," dumb thing, I know, really dumb thing, but it just seems to me like these are two really likable groups of athletes and fan bases, and you know, whoever comes out of this series, man, I'm going to have a hard time not cheering for him, even if it's against Washington. And I want Ovi to get a Stanley Cup before his career's over. I think he deserves one, frankly. But it's going to be hard to not cheer for whoever wins Vegas and Winnipeg, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned it's a little thing, but it's the little things are actually the big things. And that was a nice move as far as that went with
it was
the
a great touch. It really
yeah,
was.
Really nice touch. And it really hammers home that the fact that three of the four teams have never won a Stanley Cup before. And it's hard to believe we're talking about Vegas as possibly a team that could be hosting a Stanley Cup parade. I heard you talking earlier to Jeff Merrick about, you know, Hamilton can use another parade. But that's what's neat about whether it's the Winnipeg Jets and their fans, the long-suffering fans, and you're loving it for them. Vegas has just been a great story. You're saying, well, maybe down the road, but son of a gun, they may have it now. And then you're right. You know, Alexander Ovechkin has been unfairly castigated for playoff performances that really, as an individual, he's not been bad at all, but the team has had, you know, playoff failure. So there's a lot of really good stories. And then, as you mentioned, a couple of really good series, particularly that Winnipeg-Vegas series going on right now in the conference final.
What do you think has to happen for the Jets to even this series up? I mean, both of these teams, I'm trying to remember who made this point, whether it was, I don't know if it was Kelly or Nick, but they talked about this series we've seen several times. Very, very, we've seen quick momentum changes. We've seen turnovers leading to goals. And Winnipeg's, you know, kind of their MO coming up in the previous series was they could bunch together goals. I mean, they could bunch together three goals in 2 minutes. And what do you think of this is going to come down to for Winnipeg in particular? Because, you know, I think Paul Maurice was right. Winnipeg played really well in losing that game. You know, and you can look at it two ways, right? One, hey, we played really well and we lost the game. Can't wait for the next game. Or you're going, my God, what the hell do we have to do to beat this guy? What do we have to do to beat Marc-Andre Fleury? I mean, we can't set up Mark Scheifele any more than we have, and the puck's not going in. I mean, if you're Winnipeg, there's going to be two ways to look at this, I would think.
Yeah, and you know, and really, they've all been one-goal games, basically. There's usually the late empty netter that kind of distorts the score a little bit. And, you know, in the Washington-Tampa Bay series, more so, you look at, we could analyze 20 different things, but it often comes down to goaltending and special teams. And Tampa Bay's been killing on the special teams for sure. But also in the Winnipeg-Vegas series, hey, Connor Hellebuck, it's kind of like when Mike Babcock, you know, made reference that, you know, Freddie Anderson's got to play better. And you said, well, he didn't really let any soft goals in, but yeah, but you got to get in the way of it kind of thing. And, you know, that's something Marc-Andre Fleury is doing over Connor Hellebuck. It's not that Connor Hellebuck's playing poorly, but it's just the goaltending advantage is a huge advantage in a playoff series. I think, you know, Vegas, you just like Gerard Gallant said, in the first round, he'd already used 15 different forwards seamlessly in the 12 forward spots, you know, putting them in and out. And a guy like Thomas Tatar is a guy that doesn't play all that often, but he'll plop them in when need be. I think in Winnipeg, I don't know whether Ehlers is going to be healthy tonight or not, but a guy like Ehlers hasn't been getting the points. Patrick Laine hasn't been getting the points either. So just, you know, some of those guys that, and, you know, Kyle Connor's made some tough giveaways rookie style. So just about getting that one more goal that they usually get, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity or not having, like they did the other night, just those turnovers that, I mean, Vegas like fires the puck right away. When there's a turnover, it's like they're programmed. And Marchessault, when he beat, go, wait a sec, he was behind, but he kind of knew and gets that goal. So they almost got that in place that, you know, that they are ones that you better capitalize on those little opportunities because Vegas seems to capitalize on all those moments they get.
If David Perron should get back in this game, what does that do for Vegas?
I wouldn't put him in the game. Okay. I just think that when you've won a couple in a row, and Washington kind of showed that by putting Backstrom back in, you know, that you had lost, so you wanted to try to get it going again. I just mean, if he's been under the weather, not 100%, I think it upgrades you because he's certainly one of your top nine forwards, top six anyway. But this Vegas team, Jeff, every day I would look at as I kicked off a morning show covering NHL hockey. Oh, Vegas won again. Oh, they scored five goals and five different guys scored.
Yeah.
Oh, 12 different guys got at least a point. I'm telling you, well, how many out of 82 times that happened? So, yeah, so David Perron would be a plus. But, man, in Vegas is the classic that the sum is so much bigger than the individual parts.
You know, and I think what people have talked about how waiting for that the shoe to fall off or the slipper to whatever, however you want to describe it, waiting for the coast to turn into pumpkin. I'm mixing all my, you know, my fairy tale metaphors up here, whatever. But people have been waiting for that to happen with this team. They probably will going into the final. I bet there are if Vegas wins the series and goes into the Stanley Cup final against Tampa, I bet there are there will be people saying, okay, this is where it ends. They go out in four. All that aside. Gerard Gallant was a great coach during the regular season. Is he doing anything different? Because I've not seen Vegas that much in the regular season, I admit. Has he done anything different in the playoffs that you've been able to see or that people are talking about? Or is he basically the same guy now that he was in the regular season?
I think the same guy, and I think that's important sometimes. And, you know, and that came down to Austin Matthews and Mike Babcock a bit. Was there a bit of overcoaching there in the playoffs, over-strategizing? And I think he, you know, we've used the four-second-line analogy so often with Vegas that every line comes out and is equal of the other line and works hard and has speeds and does it that way. I think what has really surprised me when you look back at it, Jeff, is the thing we talk about the least, because we also talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, and that was a very fortuitous thing for them that he was available. But as Maple Leaf fans go, hey, can we upgrade our D? Vegas, Nate Schmidt, Braden McNabb, Derek Engelin,
Shea Theodore.
Like these guys were, yeah, and these guys are playing like 20 plus minutes and they're kicking ass. And you're kind of going, wow, that's a head scratcher, because D are hard to find. And they're playing, I guess, a simple style from the word go, playing within their means. But man, they hit on some defensemen, and that's the toughest thing to staff or to get good at, really. And that's the part that's really intrigued me and impressed me, because I saw the forwards and some skill. I knew there was an excellent goalie. I thought the Achilles heel would be the defense in a big way, and it hasn't been at all.
Yeah, I mean, we had it wasn't Ren Lavoie. I think it was Brian Lawton we had on earlier this week, and we were talking about, you know, the teams left in the playoffs. And I said, look, to me, the two real revelations, and again, admittedly, this may be because I just wasn't watching as much hockey as I should have, but the two real revelations to me have been Shea Theodore of Vegas and Dmitry Orlov of Washington, who, you watch a bit of the Capitals game, and it seems as if he's always around the puck. He is always on the TV set when you watch the Capitals play.
Yeah, and Nate Schmidt was emerging that way with the Capitals last year, and that's where, you know, Travis Dermott, I've liked what I've seen with him with the Maple Leafs, that you don't find out till the guy actually plays. And it's almost like, Jeff, like we were used to the old days, but, you know, the old contracts, and it wasn't big money, that you just stayed with a guy and you drafted him, and come hell or high water, you're going to stick with him and see if he develops. Well, now you got to make quicker decisions. You got to decide and cut bait, because it also means money things and cap implications. And also, guys are so well coached when they come out of junior or college hockey now compared to then. And that's exactly it. When you see someone, you see something like Orlov brings in that, then you know you got something. And that's what, you know, the Maple Leafs, that's why it was kind of disappointing that Zaitsev, you know, went back a bit or didn't really develop compared to year number one, because you really feel that he's an NHL defenseman, but you felt a little less about his play this year than in his rookie season.